Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
You turn man back to dust, saying, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or a watch of the night."
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands.
In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment, I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself, so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do may not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers shall laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to your Sunday Reader. This week we have Father Mark and Dawn together. We were going to have Brian with us today, but unfortunately his hard drive crashed yesterday. So for all of you that know Brian, can you imagine him without a computer? Oh my goodness.
Not a pretty sight. Yeah, not a pretty sight.
It would probably be like not having any arms. I know how I would feel, so
Yeah,
I'm sure he
exactly.
is that much more connected. So,
Exactly, yeah.
Brian, if somehow you're listening to us, we empathize with you and pray for your a new computer soon.
That's right.
Well, Father Mark, today as I was reading the gospel and thinking and praying about it, it starts off with Jesus saying, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother and siblings, he cannot be my disciple." And so I got to thinking about that and what Jesus calls us to, and then actually I started thinking about you and when you were in seminary, what happened to your mother at that point and how you reconcile that. And could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I've heard, and I remember when I was going through formation that the vocation director here for the diocese said that, one of the obstacles to vocations to the church is lack of family support. And that was not my experience, but I know it's been experience of other people that I've met. And it does certainly present difficulty when one is trying to, discern a vocation to the priesthood or religious life. And their family is not supportive of that decision. And so it just makes, I think, the decision that much more difficult. For me, it was actually not too bad. My parents were very supportive for me. And I have two brothers. And I remember my older brother said to my mother at one point, why does Mark want to quit his job and become a priest? And my mother told me that. And I said, my answer to her was, because my job that I had at the time, which was at a hospital, was just not very fulfilling. I wasn't happy in that job. I knew that I wanted to do something else in my life, something more, and was considering a vocation of the priesthood at that point. And so I wouldn't say that my brother wasn't supportive, but he just didn't quite understand. And I think maybe that might be part of it too, that families might not understand why their son or their daughter or their brother or sister is, discerning a vocation to priesthood and religious life in the church. And so, it just becomes that much more difficult. But for me, when I was in my first year of seminary, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. And, one of my fears when I was at seminary would be that I would be, thousands of miles away from home and something would happen to one of my parents, which it did. And I was studying in the seminary at the time at the American College of Louvain in Belgium. And so my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And I just remember at that point, kind of becoming angry with God too and saying, this is one of my biggest fears and this happened and what am I going to do? And I remember talking to my parents on the phone as she was just entering her treatments of chemotherapy. And my parents both said to me that they didn't want me to come home, that they wanted me to stay in the seminary, and that they said, the only thing that you can do for us really is to pray for us. And you can do that in the seminary, and to keep doing, and keep praying about your vocation, and don't come home. And so that was really hard for me to do because I really wanted to come home and be with my family, but I had to stay in the seminary. And it really forced me to examine my relationship with them and with God and to figure out who I am in all of this. And what was I supposed to be for them? And as they said, all I could be was just pretty much a prayerful presence to them and for them, and that's what I had to do. It was a wonderful community for me in the seminary that gathered around me. The priests and the sisters that were there, and also the seminarians that were there, were very supportive of me while my mother went through that. So it was hard for me, but I realized that it was necessary for me to go through that. Not that I wanted my mother to have cancer, but that I realized a deeper relationship with them. And with God, and also a deeper understanding of myself, kind of discovering some strength that I had that I never really had to tap into, I guess you could say, up until that point, discovering things about myself. So, when it comes time to make these difficult choices in life, and we may have to commit to something, and then these circumstances present themselves around that choice. It can make it more difficult, but I think maybe what's important to hold on to is that, maybe we have to go beyond just our way of thinking and trust God in all of this and trust the wisdom and guidance of God in all of this, because there is something good that will come out of this. And that's what I would say I had to learn about it in the midst of all of that. You know, as difficult and as horrible as cancer can be, and my mother had to go through that, it was a wonderful experience for me of a deepening of faith and of life.
Yeah, that's such a powerful story, and I just want to make sure that all our listeners are aware of this doesn't just apply to priests and sisters to be disciples. We are all called to be disciples in our everyday life, and maybe our vocation may not be to the priesthood, but maybe it's to married life or single life, and each of those things that we take on, just like in the parables today, you have to really seriously consider what is your decision going to be, and to take into all the different accounts. And nevertheless, just like when you buy a house, you make that decision hopefully after prayer and examining your finances. Well, maybe 3 months later you find out you need a new hot water heater. So you have to make more decisions. And being a disciple is the same exact thing. It's not just one-time decision, okay, yes, I'll follow God, and that's all that you'll ever have to do. The more faithful we are in following Jesus, the more decisions, and almost the more, the greater the cost it is, but also the more the rewards.
Absolutely, and you know, I think that what we have to understand with our discernment as, you know, followers of Christ is that, you know, we get into this mindset of, you know, pros and cons. I've got to make a decision, and so I've got to make two lists, the pros and the cons around this decision. And it ends up becoming my decision, you know, and everything that is to be considered in that decision, I must think up. And it really, if you think about it, that kind of pushes God out of the whole situation. You know, and, you know, we talk about, you know, the glass half empty and half full, and you know, maybe we're filling up that glass with all of the stuff that I need to think about and not even leaving any room for God. And can we allow the glass to maybe go to half empty or half full and allow the rest to be filled up by God? You know, that's why that first reading from Wisdom talks about, you know, the deliberations of mortals are timid. You know, sometimes we're timid about our decisions, yet we're going to do it all ourselves, and we don't have to. That sometimes we need to rely on the wisdom of God, which is going to be beyond our understanding, and that's where a level of trust comes in, to be able to trust God in the decisions that we have to make. I was saying, you know, to you earlier, Don, about the fact that, you know, for me to study for the priesthood and go through formation, it takes, you know, it took me 6.5 years, and that's a lot of discernment and a lot of time to think about this decision. Not that we have to do that with every single decision, but that there should be a depth to our decisions, and part of that depth is God, and allowing God to provide the wisdom and the strength that we may need to go forth with a commitment and a decision that we have to make.
And you know, I just remembered when you were talking about that, last week we mentioned that Brian was on a silent retreat, and some people might not know what a silent retreat is, or even a retreat in general. Can you talk to what a silent retreat is?
It is usually, you know, sometimes it's 5 or 7 days. I'm not sure how long Brian was on retreat for, but it's an opportunity really to, it's just as it says, it's silent. So when I've been on a couple of them, usually the only time that you speak during the day would be at Mass, obviously. And also, each day you meet with a spiritual director, someone who you can talk to about what's happening in those silent times and moments during the retreat. So you may be, you know, reading scripture, or you may be reading prayers, or you may be reading some kind of a spiritual book that is happening in the silence of the retreat. And of course, you know, when we do enter into those times of silence, it gives us opportunity to really kind of deepen them, and, you know, allows us to open some doors within ourselves that maybe have been closed for a long time, and allows us to go behind and really see, you know, what's going on inside of us. And like I said, meeting with a spiritual director allows us that time to really maybe do some processing and, you know, kind of put it out there for another person who, you know, can give us some spiritual spiritual guidance or just kind of maybe echo back to us what's happening to us. So I think, you know, silent retreats are certainly wonderful times for us to get away from the noise and the busyness of daily life and to enter into that silent time when we can really focus in and listen to God speaking in our lives.
And the recommendation that people who know these things is that just for everyday people, we every week we take 1 hour a week to reflect and go on our own personal little retreat. And then every month we spend 1 day on a retreat. And then every year a week on retreat. And then every 5 years, they recommend that you go for a month on some sort of retreat. And these retreats can take many forms. I mean, there's lots of places you can go to have a directed retreat. Sometimes it's you can just meet with your local pastor or whoever, and they can help you out with those type of things. And so that's just sort of to the side, but I think it's a good thing for people to know about.
Certainly, you know, in our lives of, you know, because I think we're always discerning, you know, the evolution of who we are, you know, that because we're always growing in faith and growing in life. And so as God is calling us forth to growth, you know, it's always good for us to stop and maybe become silent or listen to someone who has words of wisdom for us that will help us in our journey of discernment of, you know, who are we? Mm-hmm. And as the, you know, in the gospel reading, you know, what are the things maybe that are getting in the way of hearing God a bit more clearly or are stopping us from really committing ourselves to our God?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to bring us back to the gospel. It ends with Jesus saying, any of you who don't renounce your possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, I think a little clarity would be a little bit of a help. It's not just possessions, but it's almost priorities. It's whatever we have in our life that's taking priority of before God. So it could be things, your computer or your iPod or whatever, but it can, another way to examine it is to look at your calendar and see what takes up most of your calendar.
That's
or
true.
Your lifetime and your lifestyle and see what is primary in your life and where does God fit in?
That's right. Yeah. You know, that's certainly, that'd be very interesting for us to do an analysis of our daily schedule, you know, our weekly schedule to look at and see where are our priorities in life, you know, and do we even, as funny as it may sound, but, you know, do we even schedule in time for God in our daily life?
Maybe you've had people say that to you, but to me, I've had people say to me, you know, it must be so great to work at a church. You can just pray all day.
Right.
And, no. You know, it always calls me back to, oh, right, I should be doing that. I'm sure as a priest, that's all you do.
Can you imagine putting in a time slot for God in your daily appointment book, you know? Oh, I have an appointment with God at 2 o'clock today.
Let me check my Palm Pilot, please.
That's right.
Oh, can't schedule there. But maybe for some people, that's the way you need to start is, you know, put in 20 minutes every day or however many you can. And then after a while, it will become routine. But
yeah, so, you know, maybe we do have to write in God into
a
time slot.
Other than just the time you go to church on Sunday.
Right, so. Right.
Well, with that thought, I think we have to end our podcast for this week. We thank you for joining us and ask that you would be with us next week. And in that time, have a great week and God bless.